key leaders from the worlds of science, business, politics and culture will come to Ballyvaughan in County Clare next month to work on a new narrative on climate change. As according to my next guest, funding for cleaner energy is drying up, and in Ireland we're unlikely to meet our 2020 climate targets despite the fall off in emissions associated with the economic downturn. So are we relying on the recession simply to keep our Kyoto targets on track? The climate gathering will take place at the Burren College of Art between the 14th and the 17th of February and will be convened by former Minister for the Environment and Green Party leader Eamon Ryan. Eamon, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
What's the idea behind this?
The idea goes back a year now. We've been working on it, that Ireland can be the meeting place to actually crack our a new approach to the whole climate issue. You know, in the same way people go to Oslo for peace talks or Geneva for trade talks, you go to small, neutral, independent places. And we've gone out, we were in Washington in the summer, saying to people, come to Ireland as a place to actually sit down and talk together. And it's worked. We got some of the key people in climate from across the world, particularly from the States and Europe, are coming. One of Obama's main advisors is coming. And Obama's out there saying what we need now is conversations and how we tackle this issue. He's putting it top of his agenda. And we're providing just the right conversation space in the Burren College of Art to make that happen.
How's it been funded?
It's been funded it's been organised by the Green Foundation Ireland, and it's been funded by the Tony Ryan Trust. The former founder of Ryanair has given funding to help us to bring people here and to put them up. We got the key person, Chef de Cabinet, in the Climate Commissioner, the European Commission. We had the key person in the French government. We have the UK Climate Ambassador for the last 7-8 years, all coming, and key business and scientific. The head of the Potsdam Institute on Climate Change, the best probably scientist, is coming. And our idea is that in Ireland has something particular, and it's working. People are looking, are come to Ireland in the way that they wouldn't come to Luxembourg, let's say, or to Austria. And what we're saying is, let's get together here and actually try and refigure how do we inspire people that a transformational leap is possible in how we approach climate change.
Now, you talk about a new narrative. Mm. Explain what you mean by a new narrative, because we all know, you know, we've got too much carbon emission going on in the world. China's galloping ahead, emitting more and more stuff. We have global warming, and therefore the consequences for our weather are going to be catastrophic in time. What's the new narrative?
Well, I think, just first of all, Pat, I'm sure you see it. I'm sure your producer sees it. If you do a story about climate change, I think what tends to happen, we are frozen by fear, or we're frozen by denial, or we're frozen by maybe, I don't know, boredom, or slight embarrassment in the issue, because I think subconsciously, and we know the science is true now. Like, I mean, just look out the door today, see the weather getting stronger, weather events getting more and more violent, whether it's Hurricane Sandy, whether it's winds and floods in Ireland, whether it's high temperatures in Australia. We can all see, anyone of any sort an age can sense that the climate, the weather is changing. I think the way the narrative has to change, we have relied to a certain extent in the environmental movement for the last 20 years on a top-down big international deal that the United Nations would sort this out. And I don't think that's enough. I don't think it's going to work easily, because there are certain states in that process who have so much fossil fuels that they won't agree to the sort of deal that's needed. Nor do I think, though, that just a bottom-up approach, leaving it to business community, is going to work. I think we need first of all to inspire people the sense that this is possible, that we can actually leap to a better economy without fossil fuels. And again, I think I'd say one of the reasons people are coming to Ireland is because there's certain things we've done here to start to show that actually it may be possible. I don't know if you saw that just after Christmas there was a New York Times front page article saying, look at what Ireland is doing on climate. Look at that, it's put a price on carbon. Look what it did in vehicle emissions standards improving. Look at what it did in doubling renewables in the last 5 years. Look at what it's done in terms of retrofit. Look at what we've done with recycling. We've gone from, you know, 10 years ago, about 10% of our rubbish to about 50 or 60%. So there is actually, one of the reasons I think people come into Ireland, and we should be aware of this here ourselves, is that we actually have done some stuff that's good, and we could do a hell of a lot more. And I think that, for me anyway, and I'd be interested to hear what Obama's advisor and what the French government and others think, but I think the change that's needed is a sense that we can make this leap, that it's actually a better economy.
But the whole background to this has changed with the arrival of shale gases. America may be achieving, through the use of shale gases, energy independence from the Middle East. There are all sorts of things going on that are running counter to the sort of panic there was about oil and its associated hydrocarbons.
Without doubt. And the same day that we'll be down in the burn, there's also a march going to be actually taking place in Washington. There's an organization called 350.org. You can see it on the web, www.350.org. And they've done a very good campaign, which is called Do the Maths. And the maths is very simple in terms of our best scientists. Take John Sweeney and Maynooth, the brilliant climate scientist, has been saying, I heard him in Morning Ireland last week, saying, we have 10 years to stabilise emissions if we're to avoid it really getting runaway climate change. And look at what 350.org is saying, the maths is. To do that, we can emit about 600 gigatons of carbon. We know already in the earth, resources, we're aware of shale gas and other materials, that we've got 2,500 gigatons. In other words, we have five times as much fossil fuels as we can safely use. So the challenge is, in my mind, how do we keep that fossil fuels in the ground? And how do we avoid our economy tailspinning into a really difficult way? I think it's possible. I suppose I was very lucky as former Minister of Communications and Energy to see what I think is the opportunity for hyper-efficiency through the internet. You know, we use Moore's Law, where we get productivity doubling every 2 years in these new internet systems we have. We use that to become hyper-efficient in our use of resources, not just carbon, but also water, also food. You know, we stop wasting, throwing away half our food. We stop throwing half our fish overboard dead as discards. We continue the advance that's occurred in the last 200 years towards efficiency. Just to give an example of how I think it's possible. In the last 200 years, within the Industrial Revolution, like 200 years ago, if you had a candle to provide light for you to be able to read, it would take you a certain amount of time, working hours, to be able to buy that candle. Since then, we have had a 43,000-fold increase in the efficiency of light. You know, a new LED light is 43,000 times more efficient. So we need to continue that improvement in efficiency using new science, new technology.
But some of the visions that you've had, for example, electric cars, and there are a few around, and the ESB has put up charging points, and it's all very good. But there's one thing, and the big manufacturers recognise it, range anxiety, it's called. Like the idea, you plug in, and it doesn't quite charge as much as you thought, and halfway to somewhere, you need to, you just stop and you have nothing to plug into, you know. And that is one of the problems with the current range of electric cars.
Just very broadly, if I can, what we need to do, I always say to people, is we need to waste less, be energy clever, and travel lighter. They're the three elements in our day-to-day life. Traveling lighter is actually doable. Come back to the sense that we can actually live a much cleaner and a much more efficient life. An electric car, the cost of the fuel is a fifth of what it is in a petrol car. So if we can crack that range anxiety issue you mentioned, we offer the Irish motorist the prospect of a clean, efficient, and a fifth, you know, a five times cheaper fuel supply.
But hang on, you know as well as I do that that's because the excises that are put at petrol on the pump do not apply to the ESB or electricity when they're generating through fossil fuels. So there is a bit of dishonesty there. If we all had electric cars, the government would be taxing us.
But the fuel in this case will, in Ireland, probably mainly come from wind power. And the wind is free. That's there as a free resource. So we should use it. Why I think this is going to happen, Pat, because I was fortunate again in the job I had, able to travel and meet a lot of people. We met Stephen Chu several times, the outgoing Secretary of State of Energy in the US government. Similarly, I met the top people in China, in Japan and elsewhere. They are all going after this prize. As Obama said 2 years ago, he said, we now have a Sputnik moment. He said, there's a race now, but instead of a space race, what we have is a race to who develops these clean energy systems quickest, because whoever does it is going to have a product they can sell to the rest of the world. And as a said, the opportunity for Ireland, not just to look after our own house in terms of spending less on imported fossil fuels, but if we're good in that area, and we have in our country, I mean, Cisco in Galway and Dublin, IBM here in Dublin, Apple down in Cork, these companies all understand that this is the new economic frontier. This is the place where the new economy is going to go. And we have them doing their leading research here. So we have the, it's one of the other reasons I think where we're getting people coming to this event that we're organising, because they recognise that actually there's research going on in Ireland, which is cutting edge. And what I think is what we've been saying is kind of come to the cutting edge of Europe on climate, because it actually is a place where you can show in a smaller country how this is possible. And I think that's real.
The wind power that we talk about, and it is free once you've built and done the capital expenditure to put the windmills down. You have a lot of concrete going in there for foundations, which of course is going to be generated from carbon energy sources. But let's suppose it all makes sense as a carbon sum. You've got the idea of turbines all over the countryside. And the suggestion is that the reason the UK has signed up this deal with us is that they don't want the turbines. So let's despoil the Irish countryside to feed energy into the British grid. Richard Tall, economics professor at the University of Sussex, formerly of the ESRI, said it was a good deal for from a British perspective, but for Ireland it would amount to giving away the family silver. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be thought out clearly before we go down this road.
The final details of that deal with the UK government will be agreed in the next year, I hope, because it is a huge opportunity for our country. In the same way that 50 years ago Whittaker kind of set a new strategic direction where we said we open up the country and we develop our comparative advantages, for example, then in growing grass into a new food industry, and 50 years later we've got a 9 billion exporting 200,000 employment industry in food. In the same way now, if we embrace this future and see that we have, as we do have, a comparative advantage, in particularly in wind power, but also in ocean energy supplies, if we develop those resources and export them, not just to the UK, but also to France and Germany, which are now connectable to the Irish system, I think it is provides the biggest opportunity for an economic lift in this country.
Sure.
We're talking massive levels of investment in the short term. We're talking being able, if the government negotiates it right, to have a steady income for both local councils where the wind turbines are based and the local communities and the state. And we're also talking about being part then of a wider European system that's more secure, and we are more secure. You know, we currently import 90% of our energy needs from imported fossil fuel.
Right. That's but we are secure. Going to have to maybe do deals with the devil in terms of when the wind stops blowing, and it does from time to time. If you are hugely dependent on, in the Irish grid on wind energy, and there's the question of balancing the grid because you do need to have a reliable source of power, we're going to have to buy from maybe the nuclear industry in Britain.
Yeah, and probably France as well. And I think, yes, we're going to go towards a more integrated Northwest European grid. Part of that would also see a hookup between the UK and Norway. And therefore, some of the balancing that would take place would be Norwegian hydro coming into the Irish system. But the general concept of going to a 100% renewable system, I think, is absolutely doable. And I think it's essential. If we're going to meet our climate change target, which is 90% reduction in our emissions, we have to transform our whole electricity system, and we have to use it to run our transport system. One of the ways you do that, using the internet, is you switch devices on and off across northwestern Europe, depending on where demand, where the power supply is. In other words, you can use a store of car batteries in the UK as a balance against Irish wind system. And what that allows us to do is to get to that 100% wind power system, a zero carbon electricity system, a permanent system that can power our country forever and a day.
Yeah, but you can't get them the power back from the batteries once you've given it to them. So what happens to us in terms of our strategic supply if we've covered the landscape with windmills? And I don't have a particular aesthetic objection to them, but you know that some people do, and green activists, many of them, feel that they're an eyesore. How do you ensure security of supply in the event of a crisis where Europe says, we're not going to give you any of our nuclear power, we're not going to give you this, we're not going to give you that?
They'll give us power, first of all, because we will be giving them power. Because we actually have the resource that is better, cheaper, bigger than anyone else has in Europe. So we actually become not so much dependent in that sense, but we would actually be the key supplier for other countries in Europe. And what will happen, this is where I go back to it's the internet with clean energy together. Because that new internet system, which will allow you to start switch on and off devices. It will allow, for example, let's say the wind power dies in Ireland at a certain time. We could quite easily say to hundreds of thousands of fridges in Germany, shut off for half an hour. It doesn't, or freezers, it doesn't affect your actual, you know, you don't lose the frozen effect. And then turn it on again when the wind picks up. That balancing system is where I think think the energy and electricity market's going to go. And not just, I mean, this isn't...
Whatever happened to the Spirit of Ireland idea where we'd have pumped storage, which would give us security of supply, high quality, guaranteed voltages and so on? Whatever happened to that?
There are a number of different people, developers, looking to develop renewable power supplies in Ireland as part of this connection with the UK, the likes of Mainstream Renewable Power, the likes of Element. Spirit of Ireland is one of them. I think it's absolutely doable in the context of that connection with the UK grid. If we tried to do it just on an Irish grid alone, it actually wouldn't work. It wouldn't be economic. But I think when you're connecting and selling power into a wider French, British and in the end German grid, then I think Spirit of Ireland is absolutely doable. And I think they're right in terms, it's that scale of ambition we need to go for. Our people need a lift, and I think we can get a lift from this area.
It would be a fantastic investment being made all over the country. It would bring jobs to every corner of the land. One final thing, in anticipation of your gathering, which is coming up in February, on Christmas Eve, the British Met Office downgraded its forecast for global warming to suggest that by 2017, temperatures will have remained the same for about two decades. So, you know, you obviously have to almost scare people into doing things that they are reluctant to do. Messages like this from the British Met Office are saying, listen, lads, calm down, there's no panic.
The best scientists and the likes of Professor Schellenhuber, who's coming to our event in the Burren College of Art, a very clear understanding that you get short-term variations, but the underlying climate science is true. It is a no-regrets switching to this new clean economy, though. Even if it wasn't there, I would argue that particularly for a country like Ireland, where we don't have those fossil fuel resources, making the investment in the alternative is the right insurance premium, it's the right employment generation strategy. It's right in its own regard because actually it's a better economy. You drive an electric vehicle, talk to anyone who's driven one of them, they're actually better cars. You present or develop public transport, it gives you a better society, a more compact society, a more cohesive society. You develop your own local wind and solar and other resources, it brings power back to the community rather than relying on some big multinational oil company. So this is worth doing for its own sake anyway. We need to do it as we cannot look our children in the eye, in my mind, and not be willing to actually do it, because we are threatening their future. In the same way they invest in their education, in their health, we should be investing in our alternative energy infrastructure for their future. That climate challenge is real, and it's time we start to deal, because we can do it in a positive way.
Eamon Ryan, thank you very much.